This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Let all that you do be done in love.
Now on Patchwork Heart Radio, this is Remember You Are Loved Live with your hosts Martha Fernandez-Sardina and Bill Snyder.
Welcome to Remember You Are Loved Live. This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina of RememberYouAreLoved.com from San Antonio, Texas, and all the way up north.
I'm Bill Snyder from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Hello from freezing Lake Geneva, Martha.
Well, it's cold, and the Lord is the one who warms our hearts. He gives us more than just a warm feeling. He actually sets us on fire to be one with Him. As we continue this Lenten journey, we see during this week so many beautiful readings that remind us of what God intends to do. Not only does He want to warm our hearts, He actually wants to set us on fire, and He wants us to be like Him one day, transfigured, just like He was transfigured and was full of light. So He wants us to be full of light, full of love, with our hearts set on fire. And that's why this time of Lent is a time of conversion, a time of change, so that we might get rid of the dross, get rid of the darkness, get rid of the things that actually impede our growth in holiness. And so, reflecting, Bill, on some of the beautiful readings that we have provided during this Lenten season, there's several things that have caught my attention. And one is, one of the readings this week is from Romans 8, in which Paul reflects on the fact that God is for us. God is not against us. Sometimes people get the wrong impression that God is a demanding God, and He is, but He's not lovingly demanding. They think He's just demanding and that He's not for us. And St. Paul has that beautiful hymn in which he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If He didn't forgive His own son, if He traded, as we will see at the Easter Vigil, the son for the slave being you and me, what else would God not do for us? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? St. Paul says, it is God who acquits us. Who will condemn us? You know, Bill, I don't know about you, but I think that is one of the greatest, motivations or encouragements that I have in my spiritual growth, that I know that God, who is asking a lot of me because He knows that He's giving me the grace to grow to the full stature of Christ, that He's on my side. So He's not just a demanding a coach. He's actually my teammate. He's my cheerleader. He's my everything.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people in today's world struggle with that. And you hit it right on the head that people in today's world really do not understand sometimes that God is their best friend. And He is rooting for them, but He's also guiding them. He's guiding you. If you're lost, He's out there guiding you. He's showing you that He loves you, and He wants to transfigure us into Himself. He wants us to make Him like, or make us like Him. You know, the gospel reading on the Transfiguration, which we just heard this past Sunday, is one of my favorite lines in the whole gospel, is when Peter says, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, Moses, and one for Elijah. It's good that we're here. And you know what? It's good that we're Christians. It's good that we're Catholics. It's good that we are doing our best to follow God in the best of our ability. And Christ recognizes that, but He also recognizes something else. He doesn't want us to pitch a tent there. He still has to go through Calvary. There's still suffering. There's still things that lie ahead. But He shows us those glimpses of glory along the way because He is for us. And He knows that if we, continue to, sacrifice and live the best possible way, then what happens? We are transfigured with Him. We become part of that. We are part of that mystical body of Christ, but we shine with Him as we display all of the...
Absolutely.
All of those beautiful characteristics that Christ shows.
Absolutely. And the payout is a big payout. We see in the gospel on Monday of this week that he says, he's talking about being merciful as his Father is merciful, and to stop judging so that we won't be judged, stop condemning and you won't be condemned. And then listen to this, forgive and you will be forgiven. And then he says, give and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you. I don't know if you've ever been to one of these places where they fill these sacks with flour or whatever it is, you know, at factories and mills and so forth. But I've seen this, and they actually shake the bag, boom, 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 so that it's shaken down, packed together so as to be full to the top, you know. And the Lord says not only to the top, but to overflowing. So anyone who might be struggling during the Lenten season, maybe somebody who's just begun to sort of take a serious look at Lent, if you're wherever you're at on your journey of Lent or on your journey of faith, God is willing. If you are willing, God is more willing. If you're willing to give, God is going to outdo you in giving, in blessing. And that's why we see also in that reading from the prophet Isaiah on Tuesday of this week in Lent, where the Lord says through the prophet, though your sins be like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they be as crimson red, meaning really red, they will become like white as wool. So the Lord just wants us to set things right with him. He wants us to be in a right relationship with him. So no matter where you're at on your Lenten journey or on your Christian walk, even if you are the greatest sinner that there ever was, the greatest and most merciful, loving Lord is willing to give you to overflowing. And that's why we can, as we continue to walk during this Lenten season, as we can rely on the grace that is available for this growth. That's the one beautiful thing, Bill, that we need to remember, that though God is demanding, I use that word sometimes, and I used it here, though God is demanding, he's absolutely loving. He is full of love. You know, in the reading for Saturday, it caught my attention that who is like unto the Lord? No one's like him, and he's not like us. He is a father who is so loving that he's willing to take us back even when we have done the unforgivable, one would think. But for him, it is forgivable, which is to even walk away and turn our back on him. So we have that beautiful parable of Luke 15, the prodigal son. It's one of three parables in a row where Jesus is speaking of the mercy of God, the Father, the mercy of Jesus, the Son. The Son asked the Father to give him what is coming to him. That's like slapping your dad in the face. I mean, your father's still living, right, Bill?
Absolutely. And so,
give me my inheritance now. Yeah. Your dad's going to go, my son, I haven't even died.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the son said. It's like, you're almost dead to me. Give me what's coming to me. And he takes off. He squanders it in a foreign country. And then famine strikes that country. He finds himself in dire need. And he hires himself out to do what? To tend to swine, to pigs, the most unclean. And then he starts to ponder. And that's what Lent is about. It's a time for us to ponder, to stop and come back to our senses. And he says, wow, my father's hired workers, they have more food to eat than I do. And here I am dying from hunger. I will rise. I will get up and go back to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired workers. And he does that. He comes up. And what does he find? He finds the father looking out for him. And you know, the image I get is when someone has their hand over their brow, looking at a distance, like checking something out, you know, like maybe a sailor to see if they see land. That's what that father, that prodigal father, that generous father, that father who gives his love prodigally, meaning lavishly, he was looking out for the son. And he runs to the son, something that no Jewish man would do in his right mind, but he runs to his son and he embraces him. And the kid has not even, the young man has not even finished his confession, and the father is already calling for a celebration to begin, to be reclothed in the garment, in the finest robe, and to have the ring put on his finger and sandals on his feet. In other words, you're my son and you belong here. I'm bringing you back into your place, your rightful place, into that right relationship that Isaiah speaks about. God, through Isaiah, let's make things right. The Father is calling that prodigal son and calling you and I, those of us who have squandered the riches of the Father out in some foreign land. He's calling us back because God is merciful. God is love. He is not like anyone else that ever was or will be. God is sheer love, sheer mercy. And so when he demands of us, it's because he has the love and the mercy that can make the demands easy to carry, easy to meet. That is good news, if there ever was good news.
Absolutely. And I think that when we especially look at that prodigal son story, what makes it so easy for God is because he has given everything. You know, that's the picture of the Father. The Father willingly lays down everything for his son. He gives him absolutely every last dime his son deserves, right? And or doesn't he actually his son doesn't deserve it, but he lays down every last dime and says, "Here, this is what I would have given you if I was already dead. So take it." And I think that also parallels the cross, right? It parallels Christ. He gives every last drop of his blood. He gives every last bit of himself for us. And what do we do? We turn our back. We squander that. But we know that we can always return. We can always return to the foot of the cross. And when we do, and Christ gives us this beautiful commandment, and it's not even a commandment, it's the epitome of what we get when we are faithful disciples. And when we return, that party is waiting for us. Think about the party that's waiting, you know. And this is what it says in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 15. I won't read the whole thing, but beginning with verse 11. "I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay one's life down for one's friends." Right there, that is the crux of everything. And if Jesus gives his entire life, we too must give our entire life for our friends and for our family. And when we do, he promises something. He promises complete joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is... that is what this entire season.
And there we see that God is actually outdoing us. He's always outdoing us.
Absolutely, he's always outdoing us, and he's always saying, "You know what? I give you everything. Here it is." And then, if you follow this, if you do this, you get complete joy. It's yours. And you know, we all the time treat our iPhones or our whatever it is, the latest gadget, or at least in my book, because I'm a geek. But you know, we trade all that for. Instead of wanting complete joy, you know, we trade temporal happiness for complete joy. And that's why this Lenten season is so important, because what we're doing is we're sacrificing. We're giving up those things that make us temporarily happy for the eternal joy of Easter, right? When we lay down our life throughout this course of Lenten and we give up those things, we fast and we alms give, what happens? We are giving up those things that give us temporal pleasure and give us eternal joy. And I think that is just so beautiful. And we have to remember that throughout this season, that if we give of ourselves completely, then what happens? We get
so
that joy.
So let me encourage you who are listening to us, and I'm encouraging you with the same way words I'm encouraging myself, not I, the Word of God. We have in this Sunday of this week, we have a call, whether you're following the readings from Year A for the scrutinies for those who have catechumens and candidates, or whether it's the Lenten reading for the other Lenten reading, we're called to observe the commandments of our Lord in one of the readings. And in the other one, we have the passage of the people of Israel who have been delivered by God from the oppressors, from slavery in Egypt. And we have them now grumbling because they don't have water, because they don't have the comforts. And they even say, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" That's us. And this is the call, and this is the invitation with which I want to close. Are you observing? Am I observing? Are we together observing the commandments of our Lord, seeing in them commandments that lead to life and to love? Or are we like the people of Israel, grumbling for the things we have to give up as if his commands were burdensome? Are we seeing the God who is for us in the sacrifices? And are we seeing that the payoff is a rich, abundant, pouring over to overflowing gift from God? This is the call for us to not only leave Egypt, but to let Egypt be ripped out of our hearts and minds. Because sometimes, dear brothers and sisters, it's easier to leave Egypt than to have Egypt leave us. Sometimes our minds are still filled with worldliness, and that's what the Lord is calling us during this Lenten season to rid ourselves of. Or as Pope Francis says, to abandon the spiritual worldliness that we have in our lives. It almost sounds like a contradiction. How could it be spiritual and worldly at the same time? Well, there is where the great deceit is, that you look at something that you think might be spiritual when it's actually just worldly. So we leave you with that for this week. Have some time of prayer. Have some time of examination. Take a good hard look. Is Egypt still in my heart? Meaning, not the country. Meaning, am I still living enslaved to sin, to the world, the flesh, and the devil? Or am I living as a child of God? You will not regret choosing to live fully as a child of God.
With that, we close here on Patchwork Heart Radio. This has been Remember You Are Loved Live. Until next time, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
And I'm Martha Fernandez. Remember, you are loved. God bless you.
For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Remember You Are Loved Live. This production is a joint initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry and Prepare the Way Enterprises and may not be reproduced or distributed without express written consent. For more information about Remember You Are Loved Live, please email info@patchworkheart.org or info@rememberyouareloved.com.